The special favor of Allah. Ali Allah. Ali Allah.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyid al-Anbiya wal Mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Respected viewers of Madanation, we once again welcome you in our program Saints of Qadiriyya Order. Alhamdulillah, in this program we talk about our pious predecessors, Awliya Allah, who are in Qadiriyya chain, in Qadiriyya Order. Today, inshallah, we'll talk about Imam Jafar Sadiq radiallahu ta'ala and Ghawthul Azam, Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh. There is so much to learn from their seerah. So be with us from start to end, an immense amount of knowledge, inshallah, azawajal, you'll be learning today. Alhamdulillah, we've got our Dr. Zirak Naseem Attari with us. Let's go towards him. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
MashaAllah, Rasul, how are you doing?
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, ala kulli hal. How are you, Rizwan
bhai? Alhamdulillah, I'm good too. Jazakallahu khairah. Thank you so much once again giving your precious time. Today, I'm really excited because two great personalities in the history of Islam, Sayyidina Imam Jafar Sadiq radiallahu ta'ala and Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani Ghawth-e Azam rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, we'll be talking about. But before we proceed towards our topic, let's make few good intentions. Respected viewers, that's very important because Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh has brought the very first hadith in his book, Bukhari Sharif, is also regarding intentions. And the part of that hadith is إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. Actions are based upon our intentions. There is another hadith, نِيَّةُ الْمُؤْمِنِ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ عَمَلِهِ. Intention of a believer is better than his action. Alhamdulillah, my Shaykh Tariqat, Amir of Ahl Sunnah, Hazrat Allama, Mawlana, Muhammad, Ilyas, Attar Qadri. Dawat Barakatum Al-Aliyah has given us a beautiful mindset that we should make good intentions before performing any permissible task or any good deed. As inshallah, we are presenting this program, I make this intention that I'll present this program for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You should make this intention, you'll watch from start till end, you'll remember what you learn, act upon and pass this knowledge on to others too. And I encourage, if you could ask your children, family members, they can come sit in front of Madani Channel's TV screen and watch this program from start till end. I hope inshallah a lot will be there for you to learn from today's episode of Saints of Qadiriyya Order. So let's begin with our first personality, alhamdulillah, and that is Sayyidina Imam Jafar As-Sadiq radiyallahu ta'ala. And also, if you could just introduce a bit of short and brief introduction of this personality, and inshallah we'll take it from there.
First of all, thank you very much for giving me the opportunity, and I'm grateful to Allah Azza wa Jal that I have been blessed with this opportunity to do the tazkira of these pious predecessors. And wherever, you know, we talk about where there is tazkira of the pious predecessors, the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal descends. So alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, we are blessed in that manner.
Alhamdulillah.
And obviously we started off, you know, in the first episode, and this is our third episode, and I was contemplating on the greatness of Silsila-i Aliya Qadiriyya, the Qadiriyya chain of spirituality, that the pious saints in this silsila, that starts off with Hazrat Ali, Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala, then the son of Imam Hussein, Hazrat Imam Zainul Abidin, then the son of Imam Zainul Abidin, Imam Baqir, and today's personality, Imam Jafar As-Sadiq, is the eldest son of Imam Baqir radiallahu ta'ala
anhu.
So alhamdulillah azza wa jal, this is, you know, one of the greatness about Silsila-i Aliya Qadiriyya.
And this reminds me of one of the couplets of Imam Ahmed Raza Khan alayhi rahmatur rahman, kaise aqa unka banda hu raza bol bale meri sarkar.
Subhanallah. Imam Jafar As-Sadiq radiallahu ta'ala, he was born in 83 year of after the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And if we look at Imam Baqir radiallahu ta'ala, he was born 57 year of hijrah. So Imam Baqir radiallahu ta'ala was 26 years old when he was blessed with Imam Jafar as-Sadiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. So Imam Jafar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, his blessed mother, Sayyidatuna Umme Farda radiyallahu ta'ala anha, she was granddaughter of Hazrat Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. So again, another noble lineage in his, obviously, blood in his family. So Imam Jafar as-Sadiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he was expert in both Zahiri Ulum and Batini Ulum. So Zahiri Ulum refers to the knowledge that you gain from the books.
Right.
And the Batini Ulum is obviously, it pertains to, the
divine knowledge,
the
which is
divine knowledge
and
given by Allah Azza wa Jalla, and also being aware of yourself.
Subhanallah.
And
self-recognition.
Self-reflection. And being aware of the state of your heart and your nafs and so forth.
Subhanallah.
And also, not just that he acquired knowledge, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, he was also, before he used to worship Allah Azza wa Jal abundantly in his ibadah, in his riyaza, and in his mujahidah. Mujahidah obviously means striving. In his strive to gain the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. In the previous episode, when we were talking about Imam Baqir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, we learnt about Imam Azam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullah alayhi, how he asked him a question about Islamic jurisprudence, and what an excellent answer that Imam Baqir radiallahu ta'ala anhu gave. Now Imam Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who again is a leader in another fiqh, what we call as Maliki fiqh, and he's got, alhamdulillah, many followers. And Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi was blessed with the company of Hazrat Imam Jafar as-Sadiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi states that I always found Imam Jafar as-Sadiq performing three types of worship, three forms of worship. Either he would be offering his salah,
Subhanallah.
Or he would be reciting the Holy Quran, or he will be fasting.
Allahu Akbar.
And these were the three states that Imam Malik,
he found him,
rahmatullah alayhi, would find him in.
Subhanallah.
And again, this is a point of reflection for us. Again, this is something that, we should set these pious individuals as our role models. That now, when they say that, used to either pray namaz or read Quran, or basically be in the state of fasting. Now clearly, they were also fulfilling the rights of their family.
True.
They were also earning halal sustenance as well. It does not mean that you give up everything.
Yeah.
So this is common misconception that is found amongst people, is that when you mention these, that, what it means is the majority of their time, when they were not occupied in earning their livelihood, or earning halal sustenance, then they will be performing these. Now you could be in the state of fasting and still earning halal sustenance. You could still be earning halal sustenance and doing the recitation of the Holy Quran. And you are still earning halal sustenance, but also offering your salah. Now unfortunately, in this day and age, how many Muslims there are who abandon their salah because they are busy at work? There are countless number of Muslims who abandon fasting. Compulsory fasting.
Just because of work.
Just because, I work long hours, or my work is very tiring, I'm not able to keep fasts. So again, especially in the Western countries, where sometimes, obviously, in the summer months, the fasting can be very long, because the day length is almost around 20 to 21 hours.
Lots of you mentioned about Imam Jafar as-Sadiq radiallahu ta'ala and the passion and devotion for worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala he possessed, and how Imam Malik radiallahu ta'ala observed him worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in different forms and ways. Now, this is the practice of our pious predecessors. When it comes to gain knowledge, these two things are very important for them. Ilm and then amal, both. Now, they seek knowledge and they practically implement taqwa. These are two important things, ilm and taqwa. Now, we see that there have been certain pious predecessors, awliya Allah, in the history of Islam, that they would pray whole night in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They would spend their nights in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And daytime, they would go and serve to whoever they were slave of. Like maybe there was an individual, he was a wali of Allah, a friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he was also slave of somebody. And he would serve his master during the day, and at night he would stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one day the master heard him saying, "Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if I was not occupied serving my master, I would have spent that time also worshipping in your court." So this was the practice of our pious predecessors. These were the lives and legacies, subhanAllah, we read from the biographies of our pious predecessors. But unfortunately, as you said, that we even miss Juma Salah. We even miss, let alone offering nawafil, voluntarily worshipping in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are not fulfilling fara'id, essentials of our deen, iman, which are the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Khuda ko bhool gaye log fikr rozi mein, khayal risk hai, razik ka kuch khayal nahi. We think that we are earning livelihood, and how beautiful it is said in this couplet that people have forgotten Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Razak, who is providing risk. Just because of earning risk, earning sustenance, earning livelihood, how come is it possible that we are not following the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is Razak, and then we expect that we are earning livelihood, and just because of this we are not fulfilling the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's really unfortunate. And from the seerah of Sayyidina Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq radiallahu ta'ala, and we learn that we should not miss our fara'id, our wajibat, the essentials of our deen, the teachings of Islam. At the same time, if it is possible, we should do more and more. And these things which are connected with us in terms of our livelihood and all that, they should not become hindrance and hurdle when it comes to do ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Just to sort of like take another example from the life of Hazrat Sayyidina Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. When we worship Allah azza wa jal, and when we busy ourselves in obedience of Allah azza wa jal, and Allah's mercy showers upon us, and then we are saved from many calamities.
True.
In this day and age, majority of us are anxious, there are financial difficulties, their children are disobedient,
family issues,
the family issues, the relationship issues, parents are not happy with their children, partners are not happy with each other, and there are countless problems. Now, I can confidently say that the big reason for this is that we have turned away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is an incident that happened with Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, which will quite clearly demonstrate that if we spend time in gaining the pleasure of Allah azza wa jal through His worship, we will be protected from calamities. Now, it is always that those who are pious people, Allah azza wa jal tests them. They are put through trials and tribulations. And if you look through the history of Islam, whether it was Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, whether it was Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi, whether it was Imam Hassan radiyallahu ta'ala or Imam Hussain radiyallahu ta'ala, they were all put through trials and tribulations. Similarly, at the time of Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, the caliph was Mansur.
Okay.
Now, for whatever reasons, due to illness of his heart, he was not happy with Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And he once ordered his two sons that go and bring Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq in my court and I will kill him. Now, the minister of Mansur, he was a pious individual, and he advised Mansur that do not do this. He is a friend of Allah azza wa jal, that leave him alone. But he said that no, you must follow my order. And he sent for Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And prior to the arrival of Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq in his court, Khalifa Mansur, the Caliph Mansur, ordered his servants that as soon as I remove my crown from my head,
this was an indication.
So as soon as I remove my crown from my head, then you should actually kill him. Kill Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, ma'azallah. Now look what happens when Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu comes into his palace or wherever he was sitting. He was overtaken by the grandeur of Imam Jafar al-Sadiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he stood up in respect of Imam Jafar al-Sadiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He welcomed Imam Jafar al-Sadiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu and offered him the place next to him. And asked him that, "Oh Imam Jafar al-Sadiq, do you have any desire?" Look at the answer from Imam Jafar al-Sadiq. He didn't ask for any wealth.
Right.
He goes, "I request you not to summon me in your, darbar
again,
so that I can actually I can concentrate on worship of Allah Azza wa Jal." Now, as soon as Imam Jafar al-Sadiq radiallahu ta'ala leaves, the Caliph Mansur, he faints. And for 3 days, he remained in a state of being very anxious, very upset, very disturbed. So the people asked him,
The reason.
That what happened? You planned to, ma'azallah, kill Imam Jafar al-Sadiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Instead, you gave them huge respect, and your own state has obviously changed completely. So what is the story behind this? He goes, that when Imam Jafar al-Sadiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu entered my court, I saw with him a huge snake,
Allahu Akbar,
that had opened his mouth, and his mouth was so big that he would have actually taken a whole bite of my throne and me myself in his mouth. And the snake said to him that snake warned the Caliph Mansur, that if you do any harmful act to Imam Jafar al-Sadiq, then I will actually cause harm to you.
Allah.
This was the effect that on Caliph Mansur, and his whole plan changed and he respected. Now, if we look at it, how did that snake come to be there? Protection from Allah Azza wa Jalla.
Subhanallah.
Why protection from Allah Azza wa Jal? Why? Because Alhamdulillah, Imam Jafar al-Sadiq was pious and he would worship Allah Azza wa Jal abundantly, as we've heard in the previous narration. So if we were to worship, and if we were to take these pious predecessors as our role models, and we will offer our prayers properly and give our charity, do the recitation of the Holy Quran,
and if we get closeness in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala,
then we will be protected from the calamities that we are facing in this day and age. And that one example is just a practical demonstration for us to learn that there may be many calamities that may be prevented by us performing pious deeds.
MashaAllah. That's a beautiful example you've given, MashaAllah, from the seed of Imam Jafar al-Sadiq radiallahu ta'ala. And definitely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants certain powers which are known as saintly miracles to his beloved people who are closer in his court, and they are friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of the examples we have heard, one of the saintly miracles of Imam Jafar al-Sadiq radiallahu ta'ala. And this only happens when you are in the status of wilaya, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes you his own friend. Then definitely these issues, calamities and problems, you are protected, and additional powers are granted to you, and additional protection is there from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And sometimes there are certain tests. They are also there for you when you are in that course of going in the course of wilaya. So both are there. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us an understanding that we also worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But respect viewers of Madani Channel, remember, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or doing ibadah alone cannot take us to that state of wilaya. Because vilayat or becoming wali is not kasabi, it is wahabi. Right? It is the eternal blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, total blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whoever he wishes, he grants vilayah. Through our acts, through our good deeds, through our worship, we cannot become wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is karam and it is blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whosoever he wishes, he grants that status. But definitely these good deeds, this worship, this ibadah, this riyazat, this mujahidah, this striving in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they attract the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy is attracted towards you, then you never know, he can grant us wilayah also. We pray in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq and ability that we remain the humble servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and may also we get the status of wilayah through the virtue and sadaqah of these great pious predecessors. And now let's talk about another beautiful personality in the history of Islam. And who doesn't know about this personality? Ghawthul Azam, Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, who is one of the greatest saints in Qadiriyya order. Alhamdulillah. Doctor, if we talk about this great personality in the history of Islam, Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh. So in start, if you could please present a very brief introduction of this personality. What was his name? Where was he born? And the parents' name and al-qabat and few titles. And then inshallah we'll go further from the seerah of Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh.
Alhamdulillah, bina huzur Sayyidina Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani, rahmatullahi alayh. Ghawse Azam, rahmatullahi alayh. A great personality, and it is after his name that this grand, you know, silsila is named as Qadiriyya.
Subhanallah.
And Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jalla, we were initially talking about the very early saints of this Qadiriyya silsila, this grand silsila. And we went to up to 83 years of Hijrah when Imam Sayyidina Ja'far As-Sadiq radiallahu ta'ala was born. And we take a big jump and we now come into 470 Hijri. So he was born in 470 year after Hijrah in the city of Gilan or Jilan. Now if we look at his lineage again, from his father's side, his lineage comes from Imam Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu.
Subhanallah.
And from his mother's side, the lineage comes from Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So what is known as Najibut Tarafain Sayyid, that, you know, from Hassani both his Hussain parents Sayyid. He, you know, he's a Hassani and Husseini Sayyid. So from mother's side it is Imam Hussein's lineage, and father's side Imam Hassan's lineage.
Subhanallah. Now, what beautiful titles he possesses.
Alhamdulillah, you know, Mahbub Subhani, Ghawsul Azam, Ghawsul Sakalain. Now, Sakalain, obviously, those of us who know, it refers to both humans and the jinns. Like he was a ghost of, you know, humans, he was also a ghost for the jinnat as well. And the jinnat were, you know, obedient to his order as well. Now, earlier on, you mentioned that the wilaya is not something that you can gain with your acts of worship. It is purely a blessing from Allah Azza wa Jal, and whomsoever he wills, he gives. To some he gives later on in the life, and to some he blesses them by birth their wali, what we call as madar zad wali, that from the mother's tummy they have been blessed with wilaya. And Ghawse Azam rahmatullah alayh, alhamdulillah, is one of those individuals who was born wali. And the sign that is there, and that's very famous. Now, he was born in the month of Ramadan, first of Ramadan al-Mubarak. And look at the sign that from dawn till dusk,
he will not feed.
You know, milk from his mother. He will not take, you know, milk from his mother. And this became very famous, that in the family of Sadat-e-Kiram, a child has been born that who keeps fast. And throughout the month of Ramadan, from his first day, he never drank milk from dawn till dusk. And once it was iftar time, he will start drinking milk. And now again, you know, One of the other blessing is that his mother Ummul Khair Fatima radiyallahu ta'ala anha, his mother Ummul Khair Fatima rahmatullah alayha, she would recite the Holy Quran.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu.
When she was pregnant with Huzur Ghawse Pak rahmatullah ta'ala alayhi, and because she was hafiza of 18 sipara of the Holy Quran, so she would obviously recite the 18 paras. And when Huzur Ghawse Pak rahmatullah alayhi, he was of the age four years of age,
Allahu,
when you actually send a child to the madrasa to start learning the Holy Quran by reciting the Arabic.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
And so on his first day, when Ghawse Pak rahmatullah alayh goes to the madrasa and his teacher asks him to read, Ghawse Pak rahmatullah alayh starts from Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. He reads Suratul Fatiha, he reads Suratul Baqarah, and then so forth and so forth until the complete 18 sipara, qad aflaha.
Allah.
And the Ustad Saab asks him that, you know, next, he goes, this is how much my mother used to recite. Now, although this is a karamat of Huzur Ghawse Pak rahmatullah alayh, but I would like to, take this from a psychological point of view or a medical point of view, and say that when the child is in the tummy of the mom, the mother,
yeah,
what the mother does, it actually influences
the child.
The child. The child's learning even, you know, starts, it is medically proven that the child's learning starts from the mother's tummy. The child begins to recognize the tastes of the food that the mom eats. And this is one of the reasons why children, they begin to like the culturally appropriate food. Then, because why? The taste has already been imprinted on their mind.
Developed.
A child is able to recognize, you know, the voice of the family members when they come into the world. Why? Because they used to, you know, that voice used to go they used to listen to that voice when they were in the mom's tummy. Now, one or two other common examples. Why is it that, you know, when the a baby is crying, then if you put them in a cradle, then they calm down. It gives them that sensation of floating sensation that they were used to when they were in the tummy of the mother. Why? Because the baby is surrounded by water and the baby is floating. So in the cradle, the baby gets that floating sensation. He remembers that time, and he is able to associate, because in the mother tummy is the most comfortable environment. So baby calms down. The other thing is very common, that when you put a baby to your, if the baby is crying and you put them to their chest, the baby calms down, generally, most of the time.
Yeah.
Why does the baby calm down? Is because when the baby is inside the mother's tummy, most of the time the noise that the baby hears is the beating of the heart.
Yeah.
Now, when you put the child to your
next to your heart,
the child is once again able to remember
the same sound
and the time period. So these are just very few examples which prove that basically the child is able to memorize those sensations, and when those sensations are repeated, it is the association is there for a calmness. So I can, you know, you can obviously infer from this is that the Ghawse Pak rahmatullah alayh, you know, I guess it was his karamat, but if we want to understand it from a logical point of view, is that he would hear his mother. Now, again, this is a great lesson for our Islamic sisters.
Sure.
That when they're expecting, then they should offer worship of Allah Azza wa Jal. They should recite the Holy Quran. They should read the Naats. And in this day and age, I have come across quite a few examples where if the mother, when she was expecting a baby and would listen to the Madani channel, and when the baby is born, whenever the Madani channel comes, they start watching Madani channel and stop crying.
SubhanAllah.
And they enjoy that. Why? Because they are familiar to that. So I digressed a little bit, but I think it is very important learning lesson from this.
MashaAllah, for example, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you, and you have elaborated very well. And the lesson which should be given across, that if we want that our children are pious and they are familiar to religious atmosphere, they should hear certain sounds and they get familiarized with those sounds. We should listen certain sounds which are from Quran, from her hadith, and not in the praise of Mustafa alayhi salatu wasalam. But unfortunately, nowadays, when we see, it is too unfortunate, or some of the people, they are watching films and dramas and music, and then we expect that our children, when they will be born, they'll turn out to be good. Definitely, this also has an impact, as you earlier mentioned, and beautiful example. We should watch Madani channel so that our children, they are familiar with those sounds which will help them rest of their life, inshallah, in this world and the hereafter too. Respective views of Madani channel, when we see Awliya Allah, friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you find two important features. They are very common in their personalities. What are they? Ilm and taqwa. Knowledge and then implementing their knowledge. Worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Following the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we see this in the seerah of Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh. Alhamdulillah, as we earlier heard, he was friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by birth. He was really by birth. But yet he gained knowledge for the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is mentioned, Imam Rabbani Shaykh Abdul Haq Muhaddis Dahilwi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, he writes that Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh used to make a speech in 13 different ulum, branches of knowledge. This is what is mentioned, whatever they saw. And the knowledge he possessed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows how much he was granted. One knowledge when you gain from books, and one knowledge which is imparted, which is granted to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. And how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted to Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi ta'ala, we cannot comprehend, we cannot, to be honest with you, explain and understand. Another important factor, Doctor, is in the seerah of Awliya Allah, friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They learn knowledge and then they teach also. They don't keep that knowledge with them. They spread the knowledge of Deen Islam and they give it to the Ummah. Now, it is mentioned by Allama Sharani rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh that Huzur Ghawsi Azam rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh used to teach Ilmul Hadith, Fiqh, Ilmul Kalam, Tafsir, Usul, Nahav before the noon and after Zuhr. Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh used to teach knowledge of Qiraat to the people. This was the practice of Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh. This was the attachment with knowledge, with the ilm of Deen Islam. And not only he kept that, he learnt himself, but he transferred that knowledge to his murideen, to his disciples, to the people they used to come in the gatherings of Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh. This tells us the importance of knowledge. Without knowledge, we are nothing. How would you respond to this beautiful feature of Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh? Learning and then not only learning, but also teaching to others. And how important it is in this day and age also.
There is a very basic principle that what you learn, you act upon it. And then to gain maximum benefit, to teach others as well. So if you learn but don't act, then obviously that knowledge is not going to benefit you. If you learn and act yourself, but you don't teach others, then you still don't gain the maximum benefit. So alhamdulillah, it has been the practice of pious predecessors that they will gain the maximum benefit from the knowledge by sharing with others. And when it came to propagating the teachings of the beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, the role of Huzur Ghawse Pak rahmatullah alayhi is second to none. Is unrivaled, is unexemplary.
Uh-huh.
He, rahmatullah alayh, would actually lecture people So that was the state of his obviously transmission of knowledge, and the thousands and thousands of people had benefited from him, and then obviously they themselves became pious. And you know, if you part your knowledge to someone else and they become practicing, then you also get the reward. So one cannot even imagine the reward that the Ghauseh Pak rahmatullah alayh would have accumulated through his teaching Islamic knowledge to others. Now, one thing I would like to mention here, a very famous incident, that how much Ghauseh Pak rahmatullah alayh was blessed by Allah Azza wa Jal. That one day, Shaitan appeared.
Allah.
And Ghauseh Pak rahmatullah alayh, he used to worship in the night. And he had this habit. Shaitan obviously has tried to misguide people. And the more pious you are, the greater the efforts he makes. And he adopts the tricks in such a way that, you know, it becomes very difficult. So Ghauseh Pak rahmatullah alayh, he was worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal, and suddenly a cloud appeared.
Yeah.
And a voice was heard from the cloud that, "Oh Abdul Qadir, I am very happy with you. I am your Lord. I am very happy with you. And now, from now onwards, everything that is haram,
is halal.
I make halal on you."
Allah. Allah.
Now, Ghauseh Pak, when he heard this, through his knowledge,
subhanAllah,
he learned, he realized that this is Shaitan.
Yeah.
So he, rahmatullah alayhi, he recited La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, and the cloud disappeared and the Shaitan appeared from the cloud. And he, Shaitan, now plays another trick. And he goes that, "Oh Abdul Qadir, your knowledge has saved you."
Mm-hmm. Another trick.
Another trick. And Ghauseh Pak rahmatullah goes, "Oh la'een, oh misguided, it's not my knowledge that has saved me. It is the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal that has saved me." And the Shaitan goes that, "Indeed, the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal has saved you. And through this trick, I have misguided many saints of Allah." So this we can see that when you have the knowledge and when you practice upon the teachings of Islam, Allah's mercy descends upon you and it protects you from all forms of calamities and even against the tricks of Shaitan.
SubhanAllah. Rashab, you've touched upon knowledge, importance of knowledge and how it protects you, alhamdulillah, in terms of your protection of your iman, which is the most important asset a believer possesses. With ilm, amal, right? Acting upon action, because action speaks louder than words. Now, when we see this beautiful trait, this quality in the seerah of pious predecessors, alhamdulillah, it is also very important and very crystal clear that they used to act upon whatever they learned from Quran and Hadith, they practically implemented in their lifestyle. Sheikh Abu Abdullah Muhammad bin Abu Fatah Harbi rahmatullahi ta'ala, he says that I remained in the company of Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi ta'ala for 40 years. In this time period, I saw Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi ta'ala offering Salatul Fajr with the wudu of Salatul Isha. For 40 years, Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi ta'ala would offer Salatul Fajr, Allahu Akbar, with the wudu of Salatul Isha.
So what does that imply is that, you know, Huzur Ghauseh Pak rahmatullah alayhi, Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani, he would obviously remain awake,
yeah,
during the night, and after Isha, he will continue to worship Allah Azza wa Jal, whatever form this worship used to be. And they will remain busy in the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal.
SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah. And also furthermore, it is mentioned about Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, that for 15 years, every night he would finish Quran once. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And it is also mentioned that every day, he rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh used to offer 1,000 nawafil. 1,000 nawafil. It is very easy to say. Recitation of Quran every night for 15 years regularly. It is very easy to say when we speak as a sentence to offer salah, nawafil, volunteer prayers for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, 1,000 nawafil every day. It's very easy to say.
I would like to mention here a point, you know, let's do a little bit of mathematics. That, you know, when we pray namaz, we are very fast in praying our namaz. And if we pray 4 rakats, it may take us 4 minutes. Now, when it comes to the saints of Allah Azza wa Jal, they pray their namaz with so much khushu and khuzu that it may take them 3 times, 4 times the amount of time that we spend. Now, let's look at 1,000 nawafil. How much is that in time? Now, let's assume, for argument's sake, that if Ghaus-e-Pak Rahmatullah Alayhi Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani would take 1 minute to pray 1 rakat, 1,000 nawafil means
1,000 minutes.
1,000 minutes. 1,000 minutes means 16 hours
Allah.
And 40 minutes. And the night is never 16 hours. Now, what this means is that there is a particular karamat of friends of Allah Azza wa Jal of a higher status, that even the time becomes a servant to them.
SubhanAllah.
And the time slows down for them.
And
there is a barakah in their time. And with this, they can offer more worship.
Yeah.
And so one can assume that, yes, it wouldn't. From a worldly point of view, it may take 20 hours to read 1,000 nawafil. But because of the karamat of Hazur Ghaus-e-Pak, it will take them less hours. And this can be, if we extrapolate this to Hazrat Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, that time will slow down even more for him. And it is stated in narrations that he would recite the whole Quran when he will mount his horse.
Yeah.
Now, similarly, inshallah, we will come to talk about another great personality, Imam Ahl Sunnat Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan. Again, there are many examples where time will slow down for him as well. So this is something that, you know, when you worship Allah Azza wa Jal, everything obeys you, starts following your order as well.
SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah. Respective views of Madin Shalim, we are talking about Ghawth al-Thaqalain, Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. We are learning a few Madani pearls from the seerah, blessed seerah of Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani, rahmatullahi ta'ala. I say I am Qadri. I say I am disciple of Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani. I say I am devotee of Shaykh Abdul Qadir. I love Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani, rahmatullahi ta'ala. But just lip service is not enough. We should not just claim that we are lovers of Huzur Ghawth-e Azam, rahmatullahi ta'ala, and we commemorate him in different ways, forms. Alhamdulillah, we remember him. We do khatam of Gyarmi Sharif. And this is all good. We should have that love. We should have claim to love Ghawth-e Azam, rahmatullahi ta'ala. Inshallah, it will benefit, no doubt at all. But more important is, practically follow the footsteps of Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani, rahmatullahi ta'ala. If I'm a true follower, true disciple of Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani, rahmatullahi ta'ala, if I'm true Qadri, in other words, I would not miss Salah, I would not miss Fara'id, I would not miss Wajibat, I would not miss Sunnahs of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. I will have attachment with Ilm, I would have attachment with Quran, I would have attachment with Salah. He used to recite 1 Quran every night. Fair enough, it was his karama, saintly miracle, right? But there is something to learn for us. At least we should read as much as possible. This is something, alhamdulillah, our Shaykh, our Peer Sahib did. What should we do? We should have that attachment with Quran. But unfortunately, we do not know how to recite Quran. We have not read those 80 ayahs of Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is directly addressed. Believers, to yourself, to myself, to me, to you, to all of us, to believers. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. Have we at least read them? What answer will we have if tomorrow asked in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, did you read those messages I sent to you? Today, if our boss sends us any message and we do not read them, after 2 or 3 days, he says, you didn't even bother to read my messages. How embarrassed would we feel that our boss is asking this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us message. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent this message through Rasulullah alayhi salatu wa salam in the form of Quran. We have not read what does it say to us. If tomorrow, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us that I had sent you some messages, did you read them? Did you read Quran? What answer will we have in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This is food of thought. What I leave to you, respective views of Madin Shalim, we should follow our pious predecessors. The way our Shaykh, our Ghothi Adam rahmatullahi ta'ala would recite one Quran every night, we should have attachment with Quran. The way he would offer 1,000 nawafil every day, we should have attachment with salah, with fara'id, with wajibat, with nawafil. This is something practically we should learn from the seerah of our pious predecessors, likes of Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi ta'ala. Any other important message? What you find is important to learn from the seerah of Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi ta'ala, and you want to get it across to our viewers of Madani Shal Jidosh.
I think the biggest lesson that we can learn from the seerah of Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi is that how he was able to keep a balance between worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal, whether it was fard obligations or nafal prayers, recitation of the Holy Quran, but at the same time he also fulfilled the needs of the people and the needs of his own family. So all we can say is that, you know, through the life of Ghawse Pak Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayh, we should learn this lesson, that how to fulfill the rights of Allah Azza wa Jal, what we call as huququllah, and how to fulfill the rights of people, huququl ibad, as well. And I think if we can do that, and we can maintain a reasonably good balance and continue to offer our nafal ibadats as well, and at the same time give what we call as neki ki dawat, you know, play your role in spreading the message of Islam, then inshallah azza wa jal, we will be able to, through following in the footsteps of these pious predecessors, we will be able to please Allah Azza wa Jal and enjoy the bounties of heaven on the day of judgment, inshallah.
MashaAllah. Respective views of Madani Shalim, one of the most important assets one believer possesses is Iman. Alhamdulillah, it is a saying of Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi ta'ala, my disciple, my murid will not die until or unless he makes tawbah in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What a great glad tidings it is, alhamdulillah, that Ghathi Azam rahmatullahi ta'ala has given to his disciples. So if you are yet not murid of any Shaykh Kamil, I request you to give your hand in the hand of Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi ta'ala. Become Qadri, alhamdulillah. And our Shaykh Tariqat, Amir of Ahl Sunnah, Hazrat Allama, Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri Damat Barakatuhum Al-Aliya, he makes us murid of Huzur Ghathi Azam rahmatullahi ta'ala. When we give our hand in the hand of Maulana Ilyas Attar Qadri Damat Barakatuhum Al-Aliya, alhamdulillah, we become murid of Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh. And inshallah azza wa jal, our Shaykh will connect us to Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, and he will connect us to Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem, and then inshallah through Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem, we will go in the blessed court of Mustafa Kareem alayhi salatu wa salam, and inshallah azza wa jal, Rasulullah alayhi salatu wa salam will take us to the blessed court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah karne se Allah na mile, Allah wale hain jo Allah se mila dete hain. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us an understanding. Inshallah, we'll be back with another beautiful episode next time, next week, same time, same channel. Keep watching Madani Channel.
The special favor of Allah. Ali Allah.